Is that name supposed to mean something to me?
Numion looked unimpressed. No, it isn't. Not to you. But what I am doing here should.
And what is that exactly?
I think I know why the word-bearers are here, and why you're here too.
Domados twitched, his hand straying to a bolt-pistol holstered next to his right hip, before a shake of Numion's head stood him down.
Keep talking, said the salamander.
Are we in danger here? Sebaton asked. Your friend seemed agitated when he left.
Immense danger, but I told you to keep talking, said Numion. What do you know?
Grammaticus dragged his attention back, trying not to imagine what could present immense danger to a space marine, and said,
I think they are defiling this place. I think the Emperor came here long ago, and they're tainting that with their craft.
Numion came closer until Grammaticus could smell the ash on his breath.
And what craft is that, John Grammaticus?
Am I right?
What craft?
You know of what I speak. You want to stop them, don't you? You are no longer Legion. That much is obvious from your battered weapons and armor. I doubt there are more than 20 of you. I saw your landers. How many can they carry? Enough for a ground war?
90 men at capacity, Numion replied. But their holds were sparsely occupied when we made planetfall. You're right about that.
Numion stooped to grab the scrap of parchment still wedged underneath the chair leg.
We are here to disrupt their efforts, but have no plans to fight a war.
He showed Grammaticus the paper. It was a propaganda poster, one denouncing the rule of the Imperium and citing Horus as the true emperor of the galaxy.
Rebellion was festering here long before the word-bearers came. We must prevent them from tainting it further.
So Traoris was in the thrall of the enemy. But revolt was very different to willing service to the Pantheon.
Grammaticus imagined secret cults formed over years of imperial rule, slowly chipping away at the foundations of society, and their sudden and terrifying rise when Horus defied his father's will and embraced an old evil.
Rebellion is one thing. Conversion to the dark power Horus now serves is another. I don't understand it fully, but I have seen some of what it can do. Turn men into monsters and twist once noble hearts to baser instincts. Every world liberated during the Great Crusades is facing a battle for its soul, said Numion. Traoris teeters on the brink of an abyss. I am here to ensure it doesn't fall in.
That seems a difficult aspiration.
And yet, here we are.
Grammaticus was emphatic. I need that spear.
Even if I wanted to, there's no going back for it now.
Have you considered that you could serve a greater purpose?
And help you?
Yes.
And why, John Grammaticus, would I do that?
Because what I'm doing here concerns your Primarch.
What did you just say?
Numion's eyes narrowed.
Vulcan.
The salamander bunched his fists.
I know the name of my Primarch. Explain yourself.
The spear I found is not a spear as such. It's a fulgurite, a fork of lightning, crystallized in rock.
I also know what a fulgurite is, said Numion. Tell me now what this has to do with Vulcan.
Grammaticus licked his lips.
Do you believe that your Primarch is dead?
Numion did not hesitate. Something akin to hope flickered in his eyes.
No.
He lives, Numion. Vulcan lives.
How do you know this? Where is your proof?
You said you believed he was alive.
Numion's patience was ebbing, and he snarled.
There is a difference between belief and fact. Why would you say this if you have no evidence?
Because it is true, and because I'm giving you my word.
Which is worth what?
Grammaticus held up his hand as if surrendering.
Please, you asked for the truth, and I'm giving it to you.
You would say anything to save yourself.
True, but I'm not lying to you. Have your psyker scry me again if you like. You will see I don't speak falsely.
Numion looked like he was considering that when he asked,
What does this spear have to do with Vulcan?
I honestly don't know. It is tied to his fate somehow. I was merely tasked with coming here to retrieve it.
That was a lie. At least part of it was, but Grammaticus knew his masters had given him all he needed to shield his mind. Numion frowned.
Tasked by whom?
It's difficult to explain.
Demodus's vox crackled, and Grammaticus caught the murmured intonation of a voice on the other end of it.
Try, said Numion,
and was about to say more when Demodus approached him.
Pergellan is back with Shenra and wants to see you.
Numion nodded. Say nothing of this to anyone else.
Demodus nodded.
And what of him?
He asked, drawing a short-bladed sword from his belt. Grammaticus didn't like the cold look in the Iron Hand's eye.
I could silence him now. It would end his seditious talk. He also knows our whereabouts, some of our strength.
I'm not sure yet if it is seditious.
Numion paused, thinking.
Besides, he knows nothing. Not about us, anyway.
He would complicate our mission,
said Demodus.
It's a risk I'm prepared to take. He knows something, Demodus. I want to know it too.
He turned towards the raven guard.
I will watch him,
said Hryak, unfolding his arms slowly like he was unfurling his wings.
Demodus,
Numion added.
No one gets in or out unless it's with your say-so.
No, I was going to say, don't let Hryak hollow the human out. I want his mind intact for questioning later.
You wound me deeply,
uttered the raven guard. Numion frowned.
Was that sarcasm, Hryak? You sounded almost as warm as Demodus.
The Iron Hand laughed loudly and stepped aside. Numion nodded to them both, turned his back, and left the room.
I felt safer when I was on my own,
Grammaticus said with half-hearted humour, glancing from the stoic figure of the Iron Hand to the menacing spectre of the Raven Guard. Hryak didn't share Sebaton's humour and glared back at him through the slits of his battle helm.
You were, he rasped.